Good evening, friends. Good evening, Lord. Just here in the presence of Jesus, what a gift. It's really a tremendous blessing to be able to reflect with you tonight, and I thank Father Ryan for the invitation. The topic is Mary and Hope. And I want to talk about Mary and Hope in the context of our prayer lives. So firstly, I thought it'd be appropriate if we could praise the Lord together, since we're here in His presence. And as I was praying tonight, the psalm that came to my heart was Psalm 34. So I thought we could use that as our opening prayer before I dive into our talk. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the powerful prayers of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. I will bless you, Lord, at all times. His praise shall be always in my mouth. My soul will glory in the Lord. Let the poor hear and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, and your faces may not blush for shame. This poor one cried out, and the Lord heard him, and from all his distress he saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he saves them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the stalwart one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy ones. Nothing is lacking to those who fear him. The rich grow poor and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The eyes of the Lord are directed toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, saves those whose spirit is crushed. Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Hope, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's a very important topic, the one that I have tonight, Mary and Hope. And I think it's so appropriate as a religious to be sharing on this topic. And before I go into this topic, I just want to share some preliminary thoughts about our identity and the importance of realizing the call to blessedness. And Mary was blessed among women, and we are too. We're blessed to be here tonight. Very fundamentally, you and I were beloved children. Children of a Father that loves us. Not just a little bit, but a lot. I brought my cross with me from home because I knew that this was going to be covered. I'm like, I need to be prepared. The Father passionately loves us. And that is why he sent his only Son to us. This is the foundation of our hope, Jesus dying and rising for us. Not only did he give us his only Son, but he gave us his precious mother, a tender and loving mother. I don't know about you, but I just imagine Mother Mary cheering us on from heaven. Just like, you know, a mother cheers on her child and a team. I just feel like Mother Mary would be saying, you can do this. I've got you. I'm praying for you. And I'm waiting for you to arrive safely home, home to heaven. Another truth that I feel that's really close to my heart, that sometimes we forget is God the Father, He sees us. He sees me. He knows me intimately. He loves me. And I think sometimes we get caught up in our shame or our sins or even the past mistakes that we have made. And we forget that the love of the Father is unconditional. So wherever we are tonight, and as I'm sharing my thoughts tonight, whatever you're thinking, I just want you to remember that He is there, He is here, waiting for us to return to Him. Jesus is waiting for us. And the beautiful thing about this is we don't have to fix ourselves to come to Him. We don't have to get our stuff together or make sure everything looks nice and clean. The beautiful thing about our Father, the beautiful thing about Jesus, the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is that they're ready to come and dwell with us, to meet us where we're at. And we don't have to earn their love. We don't have to strive to make sure things are perfect. We don't have to wear masks. They're here with us tonight, and they want to speak to us powerfully. We have a God who burns with love for us. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready to go to Him? Even with our mess, even with things that are just going on in our heads, are we ready to bring those things to Him? Because Jesus, He wants to receive us. And I cannot help but think of blind Bartimaeus in the Maronite Church this past weekend. We had that beautiful healing story of Jesus encountering blind Bartimaeus. And this is in chapter 10 of Mark's Gospel, if you're wanting to look it up tonight when you go home. But the faith of blind Bartimaeus is powerful. He was in a large crowd. Poor beggar, so much going on, even him not being able to physically see, I'm sure it would have been very overwhelming. But he knew and he had heard that Jesus was passing by. So what did he do? He started to call out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then the people next to him, they're trying to quiet him down. Shh. Don't bother the master. But I have to say, blind Bartimaeus was very persistent. He knew what he wanted. He wanted to encounter the healing love of God. His faith, his courage was powerful. No one could silence him. And he called out even louder, "Son of David, have pity on me." When I stop to reflect on this passage, I see that there's a very beautiful call to faith. And that's what our Blessed Mother had. She had faith. Jesus said to this blind man, "Go, your faith has made you well." Jesus and blind Bartimaeus, they give us hope here because we all have our own stories. We all have our own aches, our own areas that need healing. And I cannot but help also ask the question, as I was listening and reflecting on the story of blind Bartimaeus, what voice do we pay most attention to each day? Are there voices drowning out the voice of Jesus in our own lives? And if there are, what are we doing about it? Mother Mary knew how to hear the voice of God. And before I unpack more of Mother Mary's story, I just want to help you to decipher a little more how to hear God's voice in your everyday lives. Because there are many voices that can come at us from so many directions. Now, when God speaks, His voice is gentle, affirming, kind, encouraging. It brings us peace, inner peace, conviction, a sense of being loved. And the most direct way we hear God's voice is through Scripture, through God's holy word. The other voices, the voice of the world, Satan, even our own voice, they can be very harsh. They can be condemning, discouraging. They can sow discord and confusion and anxiety within. So to be aware and to understand where these voices are coming from is so important, especially if we want to respond appropriately and not just react, and especially if we want to grow in our friendship with God. If we know it's not God's voice, or it's not coming from a good place or a good spirit, we definitely want to respond by rejecting that voice, that lie, that false judgment. And we want to renounce any of that in the holy name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has power. So we're going to do this together now, just for a moment. We're going to renounce some lies that we might be feeling or believing about ourselves or even others. And I'm going to say a line, and I'm going to ask you to respond and repeat that line after me. As an example, this is how the renouncement goes. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am not good enough. And I'm going to do a few other renouncements, and I'm going to have you respond after me. Okay? So, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am not good enough. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am not lovable. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am unworthy. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am hopeless. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie, and now this time, in the silence of your heart, name the lie that you are personally believing about yourself right now. So these lies need to be replaced with the truth of who God says you are. You are precious, you are loved, you are desired, you are wanted and delighted in by our good God. It's sometimes hard to believe that, right? Repeat these truths, please, after me. I am loved. I am precious.
I am precious.
I am seen.
I am seen.
I am known.
I am known.
I am delighted in.
I am delighted.
Amen.
Amen.
And just as important is if you discern that the voice or the thought is coming from a good source, such as God's Holy Spirit or your guardian angel, you definitely want to accept those thoughts. You want to receive them, and you want to continue in following God's inspirations and holy will for your life. So you reject anything that is not of God, and you accept all that is from God. Such an important principle in the spiritual life. And we're blessed right now to be here before Jesus, just did is a way just to help us to open up even more and not to hold back. Because whatever is on our hearts, whatever the cares are, the worries, the burdens, maybe you're thinking of loved ones tonight, perhaps there are some obstacles, disappointments, griefs, a sense of rejection or loneliness. Perhaps you're going through some heartbreak or struggling with some fears and insecurities. And even the sin of greed, jealousy, pornography, anger, all of it, whatever it is, Jesus wants access to it all. He wants access to our hearts. And tonight, as we speak on Mary and hope, which I'm getting to, don't worry, we're going to ask him to heal us. Jesus wants a deeper communion with us. And we want him to transform our hearts. Because in that transformation is hope. In that transformation, we are set free and we are able to follow Jesus like blind Bartimaeus. So let's tell Jesus right now, Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we surrender all to you. Jesus, please take care of everything. Amen. God is good all the time. God is good. He is merciful. He is healing love. He cares about the small details and the big ones. And how do we know Jesus loves us? Here's my visual. Jesus loves us because he gave us everything. And when I look at the cross, I'm reminded his love has no bounds. Nothing is beyond his love. Even in our misery, he loved us. Thank you, Jesus. So you remember on Jesus' side there were two thieves, right? There was the good thief and the not so good thief. But to the good thief, Jesus said something really profound. He said this: today you will be with me in paradise. And this is good news for the repentant thief, but it's also good news for us. Jesus, he wants paradise for us, and this is part of hope. Jesus desires to embrace us, to kiss us, and to save us. He desires heaven for us. And when we look at the cross, when Mother Mary looked at the cross, she saw the heart of God on the cross. The mercy and love of Jesus. Next week, we enter into Holy Week. And we're reminded of just how much the Lord endured for us. But that also, he conquered death. Jesus conquered sin and darkness. Because Christ rose from the dead, and thankfully, Good Friday is not the end of the story. The empty tomb is Jesus risen, and hope and light flow from the resurrection. Jesus has conquered and is victorious, and we can trust that he will also conquer all of our struggles. Come, Lord Jesus. And we have hope because of Christ's resurrection. So as I move into hope, I saw a very beautiful verse from Romans chapter 15. And it says, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to repeat that last part. So that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. But what exactly is hope? I think sometimes we confuse that with faith, which is understandable because they're quite connected. But the Catechism of the Catholic Church defines hope as the theological virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness. Hope is placing our trust in Christ's promises and not relying on our own strength, but on the help and the grace of the Holy Spirit. So hope is an important virtue. It's one of the theological virtues. And you know, if we try to rely on our own strength and our own capacities and intelligence, we very soon find out how weak and limited we are, especially without the help of the Holy Spirit. But if, on the other hand, we take that first step to entrust and surrender all of our trials to God, we will receive the help and the power of the Holy Spirit to embrace our cross each day and follow Christ, not with a frown, but with joy and generosity. This is hope. And St. Paul says in Romans that hope is not going to disappoint us. And in Hebrews we read, we must never surrender our confidence or our hope, for it is going to have a great reward. And what is that reward? Starting with H. Heaven. To be a little more personal, hope for me is keeping my eyes on Jesus. It's keeping my eyes on his promises. And in scripture he says, I am with you until the end of time. That's one of his promises. Hope is not trusting in my own thinking or my own judgments or circumstances, but it's trusting that God will provide for me and for my loved ones, and that he will help me to get to heaven, help them to get to heaven too. It's not always easy to hope, especially in times of struggle, loss, grief, accompanying family members who are ill or suffering. But I am reminded of the hopeful words of the angel Gabriel when he spoke to Mother Mary at the Annunciation and said, with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. Now to introduce Mother Mary. She really is a person who embodies hope, and she trusted God like no other. Mother Mary is our mother of hope. She's the mother of Jesus, but she's also our mother. And her life and her response to God's call offers us an inspiring model of how we can live with complete trust and hope in God's plan for our lives. So let's reflect on Mary's powerful yes. When Mary received that message from the angel Gabriel, I'm sure there was a period where she was thinking in her mind, really me? The angel tells her that she will conceive of the Son of God by the Holy Spirit. In this moment, Mary is asked to step into the unknown, to embrace a profound mystery that is way beyond her. After Mary asks a clarifying question, how can this be? Her response is one of total trust and acceptance. Let it be done to me according to your word. In that simple and powerful yes, Mary places all of her trust in God's plan, not her own. She doesn't doubt how it will all work out, or she doesn't run the other way, and she doesn't hesitate. She is faced with a divine mystery, something that could be a scandal, especially being pregnant in an unexpected way. She faces uncertainty and even danger to her life, the possibility of being stoned. But she chooses to trust. She chooses to hope and to surrender to God's will. I believe this is what makes our Mama Mary so blessed. It was her perfect faith. She believed in all that was promised to her by God. She hoped and trusted in his providence. In her charity, she loved God with an undivided heart. These theological virtues given to her by God, they all worked together so beautifully. Mother Mary believed, she accepted, and responded with great charity to God's will for her in her life. Not to be biased or anything, but one of my patron saints, Saint Teresa Little Flower, she says so beautifully, what a joy to remember that Mother Mary is our mother. Since she loves us and knows our weakness, what have we to fear? What have we to fear? If she loves us, then why are we afraid? Or another beloved saint of mine is Saint Mother Teresa. She wrote, pray especially to our Blessed Mother Mary, placing all of your intentions into her hands. So I just want to stop for a moment right now. Whatever intention you have, be it someone you care about or something you're struggling with, let's pray a Hail Mary for your intentions, but for every person in this church as well. And that includes those that we're thinking about. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Mary's life wasn't without any challenges, and we've just spoken about some of them already. And as we reflect more on Mary's life, I want to invite each of you to ask Mary for her trust and for her confidence in God, especially when you face unexpected seasons or difficult moments in your life. Mary teaches us not to walk by sight, but by faith. It's really important. I know sometimes we want to see, we want to feel, we want to measure. But Mary, she walked by faith. She trusted, she believed in God. She collaborated with God, even when she was asked to do things that were beyond her imagination. Mary trusted most clearly at the Annunciation. She trusted throughout her life, and her trust, her yes, changed the course of human history. We also see Mary's awe, her beautiful desire to collaborate with God's mission in her life, and even as a young virgin girl, despite the uncertainty, Mary was obedient to God's will, and she desired to carry out God's salvific will in her life. And to contrast Mary with Zechariah's response, I know in the Maronite Church we have the season of announcements, and we have two consecutive Sundays, the announcement to Mary and also the announcement to Zechariah. And I think it's just very fitting to bring up the contrast here, just to show you, Mary's faith was extraordinary and beautiful and pure. Mary's yes is very different than Zechariah's yes to God. Zechariah's yes to God's plan when he found out Elizabeth was going to bear a child in her old age, there was doubt. Zechariah, who was wise and an old priest, did not trust God right away. Mary, on the other hand, she had a hope, and she knew that nothing was impossible for God. Mary said yes. As the servant of God, she was open and surrendered. What I really like about this is Mary didn't use her life for her own purposes. Her yes, which she freely gave, her yes, which she made a gift of her life with, was to do God's will, was to follow his plan, not her plan. And it was not a passive surrender, but rather a joyful abandonment. Mary loved God so much that she longed to fulfill the desires of her beloved God. And if God brought about salvation through Mary's fiat, her yes, imagine how much God can do with your yes or your fiat. So don't be afraid when God changes your plans. Allow him to surprise you and carry you through the unexpected. So what yes might God be asking of you today? Think about that. Your yes can change history. Your yes can have a very powerful impact. After the Annunciation, Mary had to journey to Elizabeth. And then later, when it was time to give birth, she found no room in the inn. So she went to serve her cousin Elizabeth. She went then to give birth. She found no room. Imagine the fear and anxiety and the uncertainty that she must have felt during these moments. Even traveling to her cousin Elizabeth, that would have taken days and on her own. And then being on a donkey for days to try and find room to give birth to Jesus, the Savior of the world. And when they did find room, it wasn't very flattering. He was in a humble, poor stable, away from her family, away from her community. And yet through all of this, Mary, she remained steadfast in her trust in God. This is hope. Mary, our mother, also did not give up hope, even on Calvary. Even though Mary was immaculately conceived and given special graces as the Mother of God, she was not exempt from trials, as you can see. And during her son's passion and death on the cross, Mary's hope was tested far beyond anything we will have to undergo here. God the Father, he asked our Blessed Mother to follow her son all the way to the cross. And Mary was faithful. She stood there in solidarity with him as she watched and prayed, I'm sure, her son suffer and die a brutal death. Mary stood there united with her son in offering his sacrifice and in trusting the Father. She didn't understand everything in that moment, yet she trusted. She trusted that this suffering, there was a purpose. She trusted that God had a purpose for this suffering. God has a purpose for our suffering too. The purpose for this suffering was the salvation of souls, the redemption of each one of us, and for all of humanity. And this is the essence of trusting God. It's not just trusting when things are going well, it's also trusting in the hardest and darkest moments, knowing that God's love and plan for us and our loved ones are never absent. Even when we can't see the way forward, yes, that is when we need hope the most. And I resonate with this myself, you know, on a personal level, because I even choose to hope when I don't see a positive outcome for a loved one who is suffering right now, who's having to deal with a trauma that's way beyond him. You know, I'm not able to physically be there for this family member, but I surrender them and I pray for them. And I ask Jesus to take care of them. This is hope. And when we trust in God, we're filled with hope. Mary's hope was not based on what she could see or understand, but it was on her unshakable belief in God that he was with her and that he would fulfill his promises, because God is good, he is faithful. From the moment of the Annunciation to her presence at Pentecost on the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, Mary kept her hope alive and she trusted in God's faithfulness. Now, in our own lives, we are often faced with many struggles, personal hardships, doubts, times where we feel like God is distant. Where are you, God? Where are you in all of this? Yet, if we look to Mary, we see that hope isn't about being perfect. It's not about having a carefree life, although that would be nice. It's about a deep, trusting relationship with God that holds steady no matter what happens around us. Hope is a choice. It's a choice to continue to trust even when life is unbearable. Mary's example teaches us that trust in God is the foundation for living hope. She shows us that when we open ourselves to God's plan, when we respond with trust, no matter what the circumstances, we allow God in and we allow him to work miracles in our lives. And we continue to write that story of salvation by our yeses to God today. We too are called to say yes to God's invitation, even when we don't fully understand or see the path ahead of us. We're called to trust in his timing and in his ways, and to remain hopeful in his promises, and to believe like Mary that we can be part of a beautiful plan for the world. When we trust God in this way, our lives become instruments of love, of mercy, of peace. And I have seen this after 15 years in my own vocation as a sister and with my sisters. By our yeses, we have helped so many people to encounter God's love and healing and peace and light. And we just don't know what impact our yeses or our consecration is having on people that we serve. And the same for each one of you. The sisters and I have accompanied people and seen men and women break free from the lies and oppression and addictions. And how? It's through the transforming love of God. It's through the power of prayer. We are never far gone. And I want to wrap up, because I noticed the time, I want to wrap up with three practicals, if that's okay. If we go a little over time, is that okay? Okay, thank you. Three practicals, because I know we were supposed to wrap up with benediction in Our Father. One, I want to encourage you to practice gratitude and to praise God like Mary, especially in those difficult times, okay? And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. That's my first tip. The second tip is, I want you to try to turn your trials into prayers of intercession and prayer and growth. So we actually can do that. Like, we don't have to stay stuck. We can make a beautiful transformation. And not just us, but Christ can transform our perspective in the trial if we have that desire to grow. And the third practical is to read scripture daily, and especially the lives of the saints, because they really inspire us and help us to live hope in a more heroic way. So just to kind of give you a little summary on this first one, practicing gratitude and praise. I think, like Mary, we can offer a hymn of praise even when we are suffering, and that can be a sacrifice in itself. Like, even in the uncertainty, Mary was able to say, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." Even in that time of questioning of what's going to happen with her and Joseph and with the baby, she still was able to see the blessing. She was still able to lift up her heart in gratitude and thank God and count her blessings. So we too, in times of trial, if we can be intentional about saying, "Okay, Lord, I am going through something difficult, but I'm going to choose to praise you." And praise is very simple in the sense, you're going to say, "Lord, I praise you, I love you, unleash the power of your Holy Spirit in my life." Praise doesn't have to be something complex. It's turning to God, focusing on His goodness, and allowing His goodness to carry you through. And thanking Him for that goodness. That's my summarized version of practical one. Number two, turning our prayer or our trial into a prayer of growth. Our sufferings can take many forms. They can be emotional, physical, social. And we don't always understand why we are going through the trial. And sometimes we might even have a self-pity kind of session, you know, and we start asking, "Why me, Lord?" You know, and we start feeling sorry for ourselves. But the hope here is so important, because instead of asking, "Why me, Lord, what can I learn from this? How can I grow in this time? What are you teaching me here?" And that question can change your trajectory. It can change your perspective. And really, that trial becomes an opportunity, I think, for growth, for purification, for deeper communion with God, for the grace to grow in virtue. So even at the foot of the cross, Mother Mary really fixed her gaze on Jesus, and she wasn't feeling sorry for herself, but she was allowing this to mold her and purify her and even just help her to deepen her communion with her son Jesus on the cross. And she always, Mother Mary, points us to her son Jesus and says, "Do whatever he tells you." And so the third practical that I have for you in how you can really cultivate that virtue of hope is reading scripture. And scripture really allows us to be strengthened, but also it helps us to transform into the image of Jesus. And in a very simple way, as I was reflecting on this practical, the story of Jesus walking on water when that storm was happening and the disciples were in the boat, Peter was bold, and he wanted to come and walk on the water with Jesus. And Jesus had come, you know. But then he starts walking, and then he starts to sink because he takes his eyes off Jesus. So when you read scripture, you're keeping your eyes on Jesus. When you allow Jesus into your fears, when you allow God's word to speak into your life, into your heart, that brings hope. And the same with the lives of the saints. The saint that came to my heart as I was preparing this talk was Saint Josephine Bajita. Does everyone know her story? Saint Josephine Bajita, she was an African saint from Sudan. And the reason why I bring her up, because she really is an inspiring example of hope and resilience and transformation. Unfortunately, as a kid, she was in the 19th century. She was born in 1869. She was kidnapped as a child and sold multiple times as a slave, and unfortunately was abused physically, emotionally, and by God's grace, she was freed from slavery, and then as an adult got baptized because she had this beautiful encounter with Jesus, and then became a religious sister. And she's actually considered the patron saint of Sudan and victims of human trafficking. Her story, I think, really is a story of hope because it shows us that God can transform our adversities, our sufferings, into something that's very life-giving. And if you haven't read her story, I highly recommend you look her story up. Saint Josephine Bajita, and there's actually a movie online and it's free. You could watch it too. So, Saint Josephine Bajita, please pray for us. So I want to wrap up here, and I want to say thank you for being patient with me. And I have a little prayer just to offer to Mother Mary, and I thought we could finish up with the Memorare and just ask Mother Mary to help us to grow in this virtue. Mother Mary, perfect model of hope, thank you for teaching us what hope looks like. Please pray for us and for all those who have asked for our prayers tonight, especially those who are without hope, those who are sick and suffering. And together we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. After the adoration,